Thank you, worship band. Appreciate that. Good job today. Let me ask you to turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges 6. And if you need a pew Bible, it's page 157. That's where you'll find it in the pew Bible. 157. Judges comes right after Joshua in the Old Testament. God, in our text today, we find God coming to Gideon to commission God, commission Gideon to deliver God's people. They needed a deliverer. Things were not good. The first 10 verses of Judges 6 describe that, the oppression by the Midianites over God's people, and it's time for them to have a deliverer that can rescue them and care for them. And we see some things about Gideon's life that I think will be helpful for us. I have to admit, it just gets really interesting when you get to this point in your ministry in a church, and all of you know that I'm soon not going to be here anymore. And so what do I say to you today? I really hope to say some things to you from God's Word that are helpful to you as you begin the next phase of life for Emmanuel Baptist. And what will happen, and what's God going to do for this church and in this church and through this church. You're a wonderful body of people. You love the Lord. You've been faithful for a long time. And God has great work for you to do. But yet at the same time, it means He needs to do work in us to prepare us and shape us and equip us for all that comes ahead of us. So hopefully I can say some things to you along that line, not try to beat around the bush and not talk about what's about to happen. Let's just be honest with that. And hopefully, as the one who's been my joy and privilege to be your shepherd, can say some things to you as your shepherd that helps in the transition time and helps move along the way. So we come to Gideon. Today, and at least the plan is right now, next Sunday as well. Gideon's probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I love his stories, and there's a lot to be said to us from them. So, Judges 6, we'll start reading with verse 11 today. Then the angel, let's stand together. Sorry, I don't remind you. Y'all haven't learned just to stand up yet. So, anyway, remind you. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." And then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, how... for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That's the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. So this morning, let's notice some things about when God calls His people from this story with Gideon, about Gideon's call. First of all, Gideon was alone. Gideon was alone. God uses silence and solitude to speak to us, which is why many of us avoid it. We don't want God to speak to us. We're afraid what God might say. We're afraid what God will call us to do. We're afraid of what God might ask of us, or how God may confront us, or how God may convict us. So we keep enough noise going on that we don't give room for silence and solitude, so that we don't hear the voice of God, because quite frankly, it terrifies us. But he was alone. But it's also a reminder, we need to put ourselves in places where we are alone with God for a while. Where we are alone and where we can be silent before the Lord. Valerie and I were able to go to the pastors and wives retreat this weekend, Thursday through yesterday. And one of the speakers challenged us to take, in our prayer time each day, to take 10 to 15 minutes just to be silent. To quit talking to God so that we are silent long enough to hear from God. That's a challenge. That is a challenge. So I tried that this morning, and I set the timer so I didn't have to pay attention to the clock and go off when 10 minutes was up, and because I realized that's a discipline. I need time to be silent and for me to stop talking. And the other part is learning to shut your brain off from wandering everywhere else and focus on the Lord. It's going to be a challenge for me as well. But he was alone. Find some time to be alone with God. Maybe it's a little earlier in the morning, and some of you are like, oh great, I get up early enough as it is. Maybe it's in the evening. Maybe it's in the afternoon. If you can stop your day in the middle of the day and do that, blessings upon you. Some of us have a real struggle to do that. But find some time to be alone. The second thing we find about Gideon was he was doing the task he already had to do. He was already doing what he needed to be doing. They needed food, and so he's threshing wheat. Now, it's interesting, he's threshing wheat at the wine press. And the reason he's threshing wheat at the wine press is so that they don't know, the Midianites don't realize he's threshing wheat, because they would expect him to be threshing wheat at the place where you thresh wheat, not at the wine press. And so he's there trying to keep it from them. And Gideon has enough means, he could have paid somebody else to do it, but he's doing it himself, because this work, even though that was kind of considered menial work, is not beneath him. It's not beneath him. And when we are doing good work and we are doing God's work, we put ourselves in a place to encounter God. And we also see that Gideon was distressed. God came at a difficult time. At a difficult time. Israel was under the oppression of the Midianites. You read the first 10 verses, you see that story. They needed deliverance. And so things are so bad that he's threshing wheat at the wine press, just so he can protect it and keep it from the Midianites and it won't be recognized. So it's a time of distress. So a lot of times in those times of upheaval, it allows God opportunity to speak to us. I've talked to you before about there are different types of psalms. There are psalms of orientation, psalms of disorientation, and psalms of new orientation. Orientation, this is how things are. New orientation, this is where we've come to when we've been through the distress. And a variety of things can cause distress. Pastoral change can be one of those. But it's a process, and God uses it for good if we will let God do so. So even in the midst of distress, God can speak to us. Probably most of you could testify of lessons you have learned in crisis. God speaks to us there because we're ready. We're ready to hear from Him. We're receptive to hear from Him. So we see three things about His call. He was alone. He was doing the task He already had to do. And He was in the midst of distress, but God spoke to Him. But here's some other things I want you to know today. First of all, God provides His strength for the task. God provides His strength for the task. God gives us a task. God gives to all of us a task. He gives it to us overall for the entire church, but within the church body, He gives to us a task, and He gives you a task. You may think, well, no, somebody else has stuff to do. I just kind of show up. Well, showing up is not a task. Just showing up is not a task. No, everybody needs to do their part. Everybody has to contribute. Everybody has to provide their skills and their talents and their abilities. And so everyone gets to do so. Gideon's task is he's supposed to deliver Israel. Well, that's a pretty big task. Not all of us get a task that big. Most of us don't want a task that big. Most of us haven't been equipped for a task that big. That's fine. I think one of the real challenges that we have at times in church life in America is we do give a lot of notoriety for those who are equipped for the huge task. But not everybody is going to be a Bill Hybels or a Rick Warren or a Perry Noble. Not everybody is those. You go back a previous generation, you know, W.A. Criswell, some of those kind of guys. Not everybody's like that, and the church doesn't need everybody to be like that. Because we have to remember that this morning as we gather here for church, and many Sunday mornings there's about 75 of us, we are the median church in America. The median size church in America is 75. And in case you don't remember your math, that means that half of the churches in this country have fewer than 75 today. The other half have more than 75. And all the big ones get all the notoriety. That's part of what happens. But that's still the case. And so, what is your task? But God gives you a task. It's based on your abilities He's given to you. It's based on your personality. Who are you? What are you like? And those things. And God assigns accordingly. And the Scripture tells us that one of the great images we have in the New Testament of the church is the body of Christ. And Paul goes through that thing, you know, am I not a part of the body? Do I not count because I'm the pinky toe? No, you still count. Anybody ever broke your pinky toe? That's right. Jackie's got her hand up. It counts, doesn't it? That's right. It counts. You know, well, I'm a hand, I'm not an eye. So I can't see where I'm going. I can only feel my way. Is it any less important? No, every part matters. I mean, just, you know, you think about it. You don't think about your fourth metacarpal until you fall down at the lake and bust it on a rock and break it. And then you have to wear a cast for months. And you think, well, that doesn't really matter. And now my fingers don't flex anywhere near like they used to and all that kind of stuff. Every little part matters. You matter. No matter who you are, no matter your age, no matter your skill level, no matter your knowledge base, you matter to this body of believers known as Emmanuel Baptist Church. You matter. And God has a task for you. God gives you the strength to do the task. You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to do it yourself. That may be part of the problem with the church in America in general today is too many of us are trying to do it ourselves. Because we have knowledge and we have skills and we have talents and we have intellect and we've done some of it before and we think, well, I know how to do this. And so we're trying to do it ourselves and instead of being reminded, like it says in Zechariah 4:6, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might nor by power. Maybe he would also say, or intelligence or skill level or ambition level or anything else, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I mean, we need the Spirit of God to work in us to do what we're doing. We need the Spirit of God to breathe a life into us that allows us to do what God wants us to do. And as God commissions us to a task, He gives us the things that we need to do it. He gives us spiritual gifting. He gives us talents. He gives us skills. Part of the time, He gives us mentors and guides to show us how to do it and to teach us how to do those things and lead us through the process. But God provides His strength for the task. And so the task that's coming for Emmanuel Baptist Church, you need to know God provides His strength for the task. You don't have to do it in your own strength, but you can allow the Spirit of God to empower you to do the task. Secondly, God provides His presence for the task. God provides His presence for the task. We are often a lot like Gideon, and we want to offer objections to God. All of those things. Gideon did it. Gideon had objections. One of the challenges for the Knox family at a time like this is we have been processing what's happening in our lives for a period of time, and you all get a short notice about what's happening in our lives. But Valerie and I, at one point in this journey, were a lot like this. When we first began to sense God saying, hey, it's time for you to be open for something different for what I have for you, we argued with God. We offered our objections. It didn't make sense. We didn't understand it. The timing didn't seem to be right. All of those kinds of things, we had those. Many of us are prone to those. God begins to speak, and God says some things to us, and then we offer those objections. And that's part of the reason we often don't want to put ourselves in a place of silence and solitude so that we can hear God. We don't want to have to argue with God either. And so we offer those objections to God. Some of it's because we don't believe in ourselves. We don't think we can do those kinds of things. I mean, you know, Gideon's going, look, hey, I'm from the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my family. Hey, I'm the baby of the family. God, everybody's told me all my life, I'm just the baby of the family. I can't do anything. Not to mention, we're the least in Manasseh. Manasseh just didn't account for much anyway. So all of those kinds of things. I mean, we do need genuine humility. We need to be humble before God and yield ourselves before God. But God desires to use humble people. God desires to use humble people. God did mighty things through people who were little. Let me name one of them. King David. Wow, all the things he did. Did he get them all right? Absolutely not. Let's see. Let's start clicking off things from the top 10 list. You know, the top 10 list of things they were supposed to do, not do. Adultery, oh yeah, that's on there. Murder, yeah, that's on there. And we could probably go with the top 2 and 3 about not making false images and not having any other God. Because I think he did all of those things as well. But he's still this great King David who was a man after God's own heart. Oh, did he get it all right? No, absolutely. Was he the baby of the family? Absolutely. Did they even bother to call him when Samuel comes and it's going to be there and everybody knows something's happening? They didn't even bother to call him. He said, gather all your sons. They bring them all around. They didn't even bring him in. But God desires to use those kind of people. Here we have Gideon, another example. Here he is. He's the baby of his family. He's from a family that's not significant in his community and his people. But here's what God does. God offers His presence. God offers His presence. God will be with you. God will be with you, and you will be able to succeed in what you do. It's just you have to work off of God's definition of success. Number three, God provides His assurance for the task. God provides His assurance for the task. God will confirm your faith. God will confirm your faith that you have. I mean, Gideon says, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign. I mean, you know, we get to others of these. I mean, the great Gideon fleece prayer. Now, that's the one we know. I mean, this is very similar to it. It's just a little different version of it. And we see what goes on. We see what happens in this story. But God will confirm our faith. God desires for you to have the assurance of what is happening. God desires for you to have assurance of what's happening. And let me tell you, Valerie and I, and we've told the stories to the kids, we really have a lifelong journey of those from the Lord. And probably this time in this portion of our journey, we have needed them from the Lord more than ever before, and God has provided them. And almost over and above what was needed. We needed them at the very beginning when God said, hey, we need you to be open. God said, I want you to be open for what I want to do in your life. Which is, you know, quite frankly, you're always a little scary when you're a pastor because you're pretty sure that means you're going to have to find some boxes. And it means a move. And so we asked God, God, would you affirm this? And two times in 3 days, God did. God wants to do that. God wants to provide affirmations. We see the Gideon story. God provides affirmations. God provides confirmations along the way. I could tell you some more from our own journey of God doing that for us. And it was helpful because we needed them. We needed those assurance. Yes, this is what God's doing. Yes, this is the direction God is going. Even though Leo jokes with me and tells me he thinks maybe I just had bad Mexican food instead. Why does God give us those? Because we need a sense of peace. We need a sense of peace about what we're doing. So as you're following God and you're walking with God and you can ask God, God, would you affirm this? God, would you confirm this? God, would you give us assurance? Because God, I need peace about this journey. I need peace about the process of this journey. And God will do that. God does that. God wants us to know. I mean, look at, we see this story with Gideon. Gideon says, hey, look, hey, don't run off. I'm going to go and get my offering. And man, this takes time. He had to get a young goat ready. And then had to get the unleavened bread ready and all of that stuff and a broth in a pot and all of that stuff. That took time. This person's willing to wait. It's not just an instant thing that's going to go on. No microwave to heat it up in. You know, probably had to go catch the goat to start with. I mean, this is a process. This is time. But when he does and he brings it to him, he gives him this assurance that, yes, this is it. This is from the Lord. The angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff, verse 21, that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Oh, we need assurances from God. But the fourth thing is God deserves honor. God deserves honor. When we encounter God, we need to honor Him. Gideon says in this encounter, I've seen the Lord face to face. And the Lord says to him, peace to you, do not fear, you will not die. You're not going to die. That's, you know, people thought, oh, I've seen him face to face, I'm going to die. And then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. The Lord is peace. Gideon built an altar of remembrance. We need to acknowledge God's work in our lives. We need to see God's at work and acknowledge it back to God, but we need to acknowledge it to others, and because sharing the story is good. Sharing the story is helpful. Because we're acknowledging, because as we share the story, we're affirming once again, God's done this in my life, and then we're telling the story to others, and it encourages them, and it affirms them, and it builds them up as well. And so we need to do those things. We need to acknowledge God's work in our lives. Because as our hearts are turned toward God, He's ready to use us. And He wants to use us. And we get to stand in awe and honor of God, of how God is willing to use us and the assurances that God gives to us. But God deserves that honor from us. God's at work in our lives. Even if it's in that time of upheaval. Even if it's in that time of discomfort, if it's in a time of crisis and sorrow, it's a time in which there is change. And there are a lot of you who don't like change, but there's change that comes, all those kinds of things. And as that happens, God uses those moments and God uses those times to be able to speak to us And to call us into a fresher walk with Him and to call us into a journey with Him. And as He does so, ultimately we get what we find in the Psalms of that new orientation, something is new, and it's a time of thanksgiving, a time of celebration, a time of praise, but through the process as well, and we need to give that to God, and we need to give honor to God. Even as we're through the process and we are not yet to the end, we need to acknowledge what God is doing and give Him praise for it. We've got to give Him praise with our mouths, and we need to be humble in heart before Him. And then we need to obey with our actions. You know, we can say we'll do it, but will our actions follow it? We've got to have both. We've got to say, yes, God, I'll do this, and then follow it with our actions. We find from here in this story with Gideon that God provides His strength for the task. God provides His presence for the task, and God provides His assurance for the task. And our response is we need to give God honor because He deserves honor from us. As God is at work in Emmanuel Baptist Church, God calls, God brings into this journey, and God promises to be with you through the journey, to provide His strength, to provide His presence, to provide everything that is needed for the journey. But the only reason it happened for Gideon was willing to commit to doing what God called him to do. And so it is for all of us. We all have to commit to the Lord as we hear God's call for each phase of life, each portion of the journey. As God speaks, we have to respond with a yes to God. Because we're not going to experience any of those other things from God. We're not going to experience His presence. We're not going to experience His assurance. We're not going to experience His empowering if we're not willing to say yes to God in the midst of the journey.